this morning. Saw a world full of trouble now. I thought, how'd we ever get so far down? How's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven.
Morning. We're going to get started, so if we'll make our way in here. Announcements. What's up? I think so. Does it sound like it? Uh-oh. Well, that's okay. Let me get, you hear it? I think I hear it. Okay, we're going to roll with it anyway. Okay. Well, let's get started. Couple things keep in mind. Your prayer requests, we have prayer requests on the back of our bulletin. We have some praise reports, things of that nature. So look over those and remember those that are in need through the week as we tarry through. And the connection cards are in your seats. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, jot those down and put them in the offering plate as it passes by here in just a little bit. And well, let's get started, and we're going to start off with Build Your Kingdom here. So if you'll stand with me, sing along.
Artie's ready. Rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. Seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. We refuse to waste our lives. For you're our joy and prize. To see the captive heart released. The hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire, win this nation back. Change the atmosphere, build your kingdom.
Well, let's move right into our scripture reading, which comes out of Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Read along with me. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Amen. Well, let's keep moving. We're going to move right into act of love.
Well, we have a moment to testify. If anybody would like to share a praise report. Carla has one.
Yeah.
And Artie.
Okay.
We found a place.
We found a place.
And it's amazing. So Artie moves in on the 4th, and then we'll be getting married December 7th.
Yay! And, you know, that's just proof that, you know, God moves and his timing is perfect because, you know, their timing, they wanted to be married a long time ago, but God's timing is perfect, so. And it's close to the church, so. And that's something that they prayed about.
Followed by the heart cry, written on the cardboard in their hands. But when she looks them in the eye, his heart is broken open wide, and it feels the hand of God reach out through him. As heaven touches earth, oh, 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 we bring the kingdom come. With every act of love, we bring the kingdom come. The silence at the table wants to talk, but he's not able. For all the shame that's locked in deep inside. Oh, but her words are the medicine. She can begin again. And forgiveness will set them free tonight. As heaven touches earth, oh, 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 we bring the kingdom come. Oh, 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 with every act of love, Jesus, help us carry you alive in us. Your light shines through. With every act of love, we bring the kingdom come. He opened a million, million doors for the world, for his love to walk through. One of those doors is you.
I said,
God put a million, million doors for the world, for his love to walk through. One of those doors is you.
Well, go ahead and take a seat, and we're going to take up offering at this time. So if I could have a couple ushers come up. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. And as we continue in worship and song, Father, we just pray that you'll continue to move and work. And may what we give from the hearts be blessed in furthering your kingdom. All this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We bring the kingdom come.
to move right into our prayer song, though. So if you'll join me one more time in standing, we're going to sing Build My Life.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken, and I will build my life upon your.
Father, we thank you so much for the foundation that you have laid for us to build our lives on. And so, Father, as we continue to seek and just continue to build on that foundation, Father, we just pray that you will continue to move and work. Father, as we commit the rest of our time to you today, Father, we just pray that you will move in unhindered ways, Father. Reach the deepest parts of our hearts today, Father, so that transformation can continue to take place. And so, Father, we want to lift up the prayer request to you, Father. There's many needs. Father, our hearts are heavy for loved ones and for friends and family, just all the way around. So, Father, we just pray as we lift our hearts to you today, Father, that you will move and work in a special way there as well. And so we want to lift Mary Beth to you as well, as she shares her mission work. Father, we just pray that you'll bless her in a special way as well, Father. And so, Father, we just thank you and praise you for all that you've done, and we're going to thank you in advance for all that will be accomplished in the powerful name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. Well, go ahead and take a seat. And as I mentioned, Mary Beth is with us. You had some literature on your seats. And so maybe you've had an opportunity to kind of look over that a little bit. And I'm not going to steal your thunder, Mary. So if you'll join me, welcome Mary in with us. Thank you, Mary, for being with us. And we've shared over the course of the weeks that, you know, we're all kingdom players. And our mission field looks different. And so Mary Beth is going to share what her mission field looks like. And so I hope you enjoy that. And thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. Even though it was a little last minute, I know God's timing is perfect. And so it really is a joy to be with you. Always a joy to be in God's house with his family. And you can go to the next slide, I think. But anyway, and the next one, sorry. My senior year of high school, I was sitting in the back pew of a church one Sunday evening. And to be honest, I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to the sermon. I had my own thoughts kind of playing around in my mind. And all of a sudden, I heard God whisper in my ear, "What if I asked you to speak for me?" And I thought, me? I'm shy, I'm quiet. No, 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 you don't mean me. And I even remember picturing myself standing where I am right now in front of a church. And again, I thought, no, 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 God, I'm not a speaker. You've got the wrong person. But I continued to wrestle with that thought throughout the rest of the service and even on the way home. I remember sitting in the back of the car watching, at that time, the cornfields of Iowa going by. And I knew that I needed to come to a resolution about this. And I knew that I didn't want to tell God no. And so eventually I said, okay, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do that. And I really made that a commitment in my heart at that time. And over the next couple weeks, continued to pray and process what that commitment might mean. And it was a couple Saturday mornings, I stopped my mom and I said, Mom, I think God wants me to work with missionary kids. Having grown up as a missionary kid myself, I have my own experiences I can kind of draw from. And maybe I can help and encourage them with things that they might be going through. And my mom turned to me with a big smile and she said, yes, Mary Beth, I think God has big plans for you in this. And so it was really exciting. Kind of had that focus all throughout college, and then had the great privilege of teaching some missionary kids in Central Asia, in Kyrgyzstan, and really loved that opportunity with Global Partners. But now I've stepped into this new role, if you've read my card, as Missionary Kid Wellness Specialist. And so really excited about what God has in store for that. Now just by a show of hands, how many are familiar with Global Partners? Got quite a few, yeah. And I think you are probably already partnered with some Global Partners missionaries. Just so you're aware, they are the missions organization for the Wesleyan Church. And their goal, their mission, is to amplify local church mission for global transformation. And I resonate with that. I want to see the world transformed through the power of Christ's love. And so in my role, kind of as a support of that mission, my passion is to empower our missionary kids to embrace their kingdom identity. You can go on the next slide. I really believe that as our missionary kids identify as being children of God, that that will give them that foundation of strength and to weather whatever storms come their way. So some of you may know what it's like being a missionary kid. Some of you may not. There's a lot of really great joys and benefits to growing up as a missionary kid. And to kind of explain it to you, I have a fun little video where you can see some missionary kids talking about what are some of the benefits of growing up as a missionary kid. So you can go play that.
I'm an MK. When I watch The Amazing Race, I can say, been there, done that.
My backyard was an Amazon forest.
I can rock city transit system.
I love the sound of rain on a tin roof.
Manny's on fries. Really try it. It's really good.
I've driven in 8 countries in one day.
I went to grade school in Indonesia, middle school in Africa, and high school in Europe.
I know what a meal cooked over smoldering manure tastes like.
I got to ride in the rain in Africa.
Laws are really just as egregious.
I had coconuts fall on my head.
I love airports.
A pink DNA keeps the doctor away.
I've literally watched the sunrise over the Serengeti.
I've eaten snake, dog, and larvae.
I stink at idioms.
I breathe in the hammer.
And the nose.
A princess dress is better than a bird in your hand.
We carpool to school in a canoe.
Airports are my happy place.
They made me love and respect every country.
I got great stories to tell my kids.
Newness doesn't scare me.
I have more compassion for foreigners who come here.
I have friends and family all over the world.
It has broadened my perspective.
My world is broader, my roots go deeper.
I've learned that difference is something to be celebrated.
And I wouldn't give it up for a moment.
I wouldn't give up for a moment.
I wouldn't give it up for a moment.
For a moment.
Would you?
Would you?
Would you?
Would you?
Nope. Heck no.
No.
Some cute kids, and I agree with them. I wouldn't give it up for a moment. Definitely a lot of enriching when you live in a different culture, grow up as a missionary kid, and it really has a lifetime impact. In fact, 1 in 5 missionary kids, according to Libby Stevens, becomes a missionary. I'm part of that. My parents are missionaries, and actually their parents were missionaries, so we have a little bit of a line there. But imagine if we could even double that. If we could have 2 missionary kids becoming missionaries, what an impact that would have. Missionary kids already have the cultural knowledge. They are really good bridge builders between people. And so they have a lot of value that they can add just in everyday life as well as going out to be missionaries. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." These kids are really cute. They have a lot of really fun experiences, but they also need training. Becoming that missionary or growing up and having that good experience doesn't just come naturally. It's something we have to teach our kids, and we know that for our own kids here, but that's true for missionary kids too. They need to be trained and taught the way they should go. But with all of the joys, the benefits, the enriching of being a missionary kid, they are also just kids, and they experience hardships, challenges, just like anyone else does. And some of them are just unique because of the way that they have grown up on the mission field. You can go to the next slide. One day when I was teaching in Central Asia, in my little one-room classroom for missionary kids, I was standing at the bottom of the steps, chatting with my teammate, Becca, and we were waiting for the students to come down. And Kara came down, and as she passed us, she said, "Hey, have you seen Grace?" And we said, no, we haven't seen Grace. So she continued on her way out the gate, and a few minutes later, the boys came racing down the steps. And as they passed us, they said, "Hey, have you seen Grace?" And again, we said, no, we haven't seen Grace. And this seemed odd that everyone was looking for Grace, and I looked over at Freeman, and I could see that his face was full of concern. And so finally he told us, he said, "She just told us that she was going to kill herself." And so we rushed out the gate, and the boys ran around the neighborhood to see if they could find her. With no luck, they came back to us, but they had run into Kara, and Kara was going to follow Grace to her Korean school where she attended once a week. So with not much that I could really do in that moment, I went back to my house and within a few minutes did receive a phone call that Grace had made it safely to the Korean school and was in their care. But I went into my living room and I sank into my big blue chair and just breathed out a deep sigh. And as the shock of what had just happened began to wear off, I could feel this deep ache in my heart for the deep pain and hurt that Grace must be experiencing to have taken it up to such a high level. Now that probably sounds a little bit odd for a missionary kid to be having these kinds of difficult thoughts or struggling so much. A lot of times, missionary kids feel this pressure, similar to pastor's kids, that they have to be perfect, that everything should always be good all the time, and that they should always know all the right answers. But unfortunately, this pressure to be perfect is one of the main factors that turns missionary kids away from their faith. And you have missionary kids that, like the prodigal son, don't want to have anything to do with that, what they grew up with, and they'll totally rebel. Others are kind of like the older brother in that parable, and they might stay in the church, and they look like they're doing all right, but internally, they become bitter, depressed, and they're never really fully aware of all that's available to them through Christ. That grace of God has never been personalized in their lives. Romans 3, verse 23 to 24 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace." That grace is for those outside the church for sure, but it's also for those inside the church. God wants to give us all grace, and missionary kids need to understand that for themselves and make that a personal receiving of that grace. Another factor that plays into the challenges but also the joys of being a missionary kid is that they grew up as what we call third culture kids. Has anyone ever heard of that term, third culture kid? All right, so it's a unique, fairly new term. And it doesn't just relate to missionary kids. It actually, a third culture kid is anyone who has spent a significant part of their childhood in a culture different from their parents' culture. And so this could be military kids, it could be business kids who travel, missionary kids, just as long as you're spending a significant part of your childhood or development years in a different culture. And so it has a unique dynamic, and I brought some Play-Doh here to kind of show what it looks like. If you grow up in just one culture, your parents are blue, you're blue, everything you do is kind of shaped by what culture you've grown up in. So for missionary kids or third culture kids, you have that first culture, which, yeah, we call your passport culture or your parents' culture. And so for me, that would be America, would be my first culture. Obviously, I speak English, I look American, celebrate American holidays, think American. And so it has an impact on who you are. For Grace, she was growing up, she's actually Korean and growing up in Central Asia. And so she would go home and she'd speak Korean. She was going to a Korean school. She would eat Korean food. Probably she'll go back to Korea one day and live there. And so it impacts you. If you're only in one culture, that's all that really impacts you. But when you grow up in another culture, you have this other side that that we call your heart culture, and it can be more than one. For me, it was actually a couple different countries, Swaziland and South Africa. For Grace, it's Kyrgyzstan. And so it also impacts you. And so she was learning the languages there. She loved the food there. She learned a lot to kind of fit in and to become a lot like the people that she was around. The thing is, when you're growing up, you can't separate it and say, okay, this is my American side, this is my African side. These two cultures, they start to mix. And if you're there a little bit, it can have maybe just a little impact and you can kind of just pull them apart a little bit. But the longer you're there, the deeper that impact starts to take root. And pretty soon, does anyone want to try to take those apart now? It's pretty much impossible, and it's the same for third culture kids and missionary kids. Once you've spent that long enough time there, it just becomes a part of who you are, and you can never separate it or pull it out of you. You might hide it sometimes and kind of become like a chameleon and show like the yellow part at sometimes or the blue part at sometimes, but it's always there in the back of who you are deep down. And so there's a lot of joys to it because you can connect with a lot of different people. It becomes that bridge that you actually, as I keep mixing it, you turn green, and that's kind of where the term third culture comes. And so there's a cool part of it that you can connect with lots of cultures. And the third culture is where you connect with others who have also grown up abroad. They understand what it's like to kind of be the foreigner and to grow up in cultures that are not necessarily your passport culture. And so a lot of times third culture kids will find each other and will be drawn to each other and can share stories without having to explain what it's like. And so while you're connecting with a wide range of cultures, the hard part of it and one of the challenges to it is that while you feel like you could belong anywhere, you don't fully belong anywhere, because there is always that other part of you that never really fits in fully. And so it creates that hardness, sometimes a lot of loneliness, of not really knowing where do you fit in, where do I belong, that we all long for. Can go to the next slide, and the next one. Caring for missionary kids is faithful stewardship. It's taking Proverbs 22, verse 6 seriously, that one I read earlier about training your children up, and truly training our missionary kids in the way they should go. So it's stewarding that relationship. It's also the embodiment of the good news. Jesus said in Matthew 19, verse 14, "Let the little children come to me." God loves kids. God has a passion for kids. And they need to know the good news just as much as adults do. It's also, caring for missionary kids is an identifying marker of discipleship. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another, says John 13, verses 34 to 35. As we love each other, as we care for those in our community, that is a marker of showing Christ to those around us. And so that is such a powerful testimony to the world around that we have love for those that belong to us. It's also imperative for parents so that they can focus well on the mission, so that they can maintain longevity, stay on the field as long as God calls them there. And it also amplifies the kingdom. It allows the ministry to actually grow as their kids are doing well as well, at the same time. And this kind of comes to back to my heart for this ministry, which comes out of 1 John 3, verse 1a. And it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." And so, again, because of that identity of being a child of God, it doesn't matter what those challenges are of, you know, not knowing where you belong or feeling like everybody's always watching you. If you know that you're a child of God, you can weather those storms with confidence. Now, one morning I woke up and I was still in Central Asia, and Grace's name laid heavy on my heart. And so I got up for my morning run, and as I ran, I just prayed and prayed for Grace. And with just each step around the city, I just kept lifting her name up to God. Well, a few hours later, we were in the classroom, and Grace was actually leading our class devotions, kind of half-heartedly, and not getting a lot of response, so I stepped in, and I said, "Well, guys, what does it mean to really respect each other?" And I got some pretty typical, simple answers. "Well, be kind, be nice to each other, don't say mean things," the easy stuff. I looked back at Grace, and I could see that her head was down, and she'd kind of withdrawn from the conversation. And so I said, "Well, Grace, what do you think? Do you feel like you've been respected?" And she said, "No." And I could see the tears start to come in her eyes. And so I went over to her and I put my arm around her shoulder and said, well, can you tell us about it? What's wrong? What's going on? And she said, I regret coming here. And I said, well, are you lonely? And she nodded. And so to encourage her, I said, well, you know, when I was in college, I also didn't feel like I really fit in, and I didn't have a whole lot of friends, and that was a really lonely time for me, too. And so I kind of understand this feeling of loneliness that you're explaining. And right away, Kara piped up, and she said, yeah, you know, when I went to Aga Khan School, I didn't feel like I had a lot of friends there, and you know, even though I'm Korean-American, I don't feel like I fit in with the other Korean missionaries here. And just as we continued to open up and share about this common experience of loneliness, I looked back at Grace, and I could see that the light was returning to her eyes, and her hopes began to rise as she realized she wasn't as alone as she had once thought. And what joy there is as we're able to share each other's burdens and care for each other as God intended. And so you might be wondering, so what is a missionary kid wellness specialist anyway? That sounds like some crazy health kind of ministry, which is important. But actually, my role is more on the wellness of emotional, mental, spiritual wellness, helping our missionary kids thrive wherever they are. And so it all starts just like it did on that morning when I finally had some breakthrough with Grace. It all starts with prayer. And so I want to be praying intentionally for each of our missionary kids, lifting up the burdens that they are carrying. And so that starts personally, but also I want to encourage our North American Wesleyan Church to also be praying for our missionary kids and encouraging them. They are on the front line of a lot of battlefields, spiritual battlefields. And a lot of times when their parents take them there, there's a bullseye on their kids' backs because the enemy doesn't like what their family's there doing. And so as churches that support missionaries, we need to be praying for their kids, for their families, and for their protection. Also, besides prayer, I'll also be providing resources, training, and discipleship for our missionary families while building opportunities for them to have lasting relationships. As missionary kids and third culture kids, you move around a lot, and you say goodbye a lot. And so I want to provide them opportunities to find those connections that will last and that can go on, while also helping them as they maneuver each of those. And you can actually go back. It's a little bit far. Part of that is when they come back to the States, they will, it's easy to think, oh, well, they're back in America and they're back on home turf, so they should be all safe and good and there should be no problems. But unfortunately, that transition back to what's supposed to be home is one of the more difficult transitions for missionary kids because they're no longer blue anymore. Their lives have changed. The experiences they've had are different. And it's hard to fit in when you look like you should fit in, but internally, your experiences are not the same as those around you. And so part of my role is helping in that transition, providing a plan of whether they need to go to transition seminars, mentoring them. A big thing is in college, where do you go? If your parents are on the other side of the world, where do I go for holidays? where do I go if I don't have a car and I need to go get some food or I need to go to the doctor? So helping them with a lot of those things will be a part of my role as well. And so I want to invite you into this ministry and as a partner into working with our missionary kids. God calls all of us to unique areas of ministry, both here and abroad. And so I want to encourage you, whether that's through prayer, whether that's giving, maybe it's even going. Maybe God has that call on your life. Those are different ways that you can get invested in the lives of our missionary kids as well as others. If you do want to partner through prayer, pray that their identity would be in Christ, that they would be able to find lasting friendships and be protected from those enemies' attacks. If you need some ideas on how to pray, I have this on the table back there, and it's a sheet that says how to pray for missionary kids, and it gives just some specific areas where missionary kids need prayer, and so I would encourage you to pick that up to guide you so that you can pray very specifically for some of their needs. Financially, I'm very excited about the way God has provided. I'm currently at about 90-92% funded, and so I'm almost there to being fully funded. And so if God has laid that on your heart individually or as a family, and you want to invest in this ministry, there are a few different ways. You can go online to globalpartnersonline.org. You can do it by phone or by mail. That's also where these cards kind of come in. This is a prayer card, so this you can keep as a reminder to pray. But this one, if you do want to commit, and if you even want to do that this morning, I'm happy to take that this morning. If you need some time to pray about it, you feel free to mail it in later. But you can fill this in with whatever your faith promise might be. Just to kind of give you an idea, I only need about $500 per month more to reach that fully funded goal. And so if you want to be a part of that, that's one way you can do that. So after you make a commitment, you can go to the next slide. If you want to give by check, you would write your check to Global Partners and then put my fund number on the memo line there. That number is coming from the back of my prayer card underneath my name. So that's just so you know where that is. If you're doing it online, it's all kind of goes with my name, so it's not as complicated. So that's how you give. But maybe God's also calling you to go. Maybe you have a specific calling that God wants you to go out of your comfort zone. Maybe that's ministering to missionary kids. Maybe that's cross-culturally and building up the church around the world. But if that's something that you have on your heart, I'd love to talk with you and share connections of how you can get connected to those opportunities. Other ways to stay connected with this ministry in particular, and you can go to the next slide. I do have a Facebook group as well as a newsletter that I send out about every other month with updates and prayer requests. If you want to stay up to date on that, there's a clipboard on the table there where you can sign up for those as well. But whether you partner through prayer or financially or even if you decide to go, you have the opportunity this morning to impact the lives of over 120 missionary kids all over the world, which in turn will have an exponential impact for Christ as they serve, as their families serve, and as God is able to use and minister through them. So thank you so much for letting me come share. I hope you come talk to me more about it.
Well, thank you, Mary Beth, for being with us. And as she said, if you can partner with her in any way, whether it's through prayer or financially, if God's calling you to do any of those things, reach out to her and help her in whatever way that is, however that looks. But I was listening to you, it kind of resonated because sometimes you was sharing about how kids can feel with not fitting in and stuff like that. And, you know, even us as adults feel that way too. You know, because especially if we come to Christ at a later part in our life, you know, when the crowd that we used to fit in with begins to change and things begin to change here, you begin to feel like you don't fit in with that crowd anymore. And so it's a transition. And so I think we can all relate with the missionary kids in some degree. So, but again, if you can help her, support her in any way, please do so. But we're going to close out and sing in the doxology. So if you guys will stand with me. Uh-huh. What? Yeah. Missy, you're going to start us? Yeah?